Well, good afternoon, morning, a little bit morning still, to everyone. And I thank the Lord for the opportunity, and thank you, leadership, having confidence enough to allow me to stand before you to give a message. And let's just seek the Lord's face. Father, thank you for the opportunity to speak to your precious people. And Lord, you know me, and you know your people. I pray that you administer to their hearts in this hour. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I'd like us to turn to 2 Peter. And we'll read verses 1 to 14. And then I'll come back and look at some key points. What I want to do is this, is to remind us that each one of us has the opportunity of determining how we will enter eternity. You and I have that opportunity. And Peter, the age, he's about 80 years old or so. Petulant Peter now is old. And he is giving this message. And he said, look, and I know not only how I'm going to die, that's revealed to me, but I know when I'm going to die. God revealed that to him. And he is giving this message, and he wants to encourage the saints. And so let's just read. Simon Peter, bond servant or bond slave, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God, of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding and great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, this body he means, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have in reminder of these things after my decease. May the Lord bless his precious word to our hearts. You know, Peter, we remember Peter, the one they said he had a foot in the mouth disease. He was petulant, the quick one to talk. But God restored him. We know that he fell, we all know that. But he was restored by the Lord Jesus, who said, go and tell. And Peter, he single him out. He needed the encouragement, and he got it. And there we see him on Pentecost, bold as ever, speaking the word of God and bringing in 3,000 fish. Men, he said, Lord, I will make you fishers of men. And it happened at Pentecost. He was like the Sandman, as someone said. Now he's the rock man. But we know that when the Lord said, upon this rock I will build my church, in Matthew 18 thereabout, he was not referring to Peter the man, but referring to the God-man himself, Jesus Christ. He will build a church. It's not built on Peter. That's a false doctrine. It's built on Jesus, the chief cornerstone. Amen? That's the one. And in the scriptures, it's Stadia, it says he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. Meaning, look, I'm under his authority. I'm a bond slave. But I'm also an official ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how he describes himself. This aged saint of God. And he wants to strengthen the saints. He said, listen, I want you to have an abundant entrance. And you and I have the opportunity of deciding or of making it abundant entrance. How am I going to end my Christian life? How am I going to serve the Lord? I and you and I have the opportunity now. We can decide how we will do it. And he continues, and he said something here. He said, we have obtained like precious faith. And you know how we obtained it? It's by the grace of God. The Bible says not all men have faith, right? So how did I get mine? How did you get yours? And it's the same precious faith that I have. You have it too. Amen? There's equality there. Like precious faith. Every Christian has that faith. It's been given to us as a gift. This faith we have in Jesus Christ, it's given to us. And someone may say, well, you know, how can I get it? Well, you really want it? You really want to be saved? You really want to know the Lord Jesus? He will give it to you. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. And this is Jesus offering rest. He offers eternal life. Eternal life is in me, he says. I give eternal life. It's a gift. It's free. And it's offered to all. It's free because he paid a price. That's why he had to buy our salvation with his blood. Blood. All his blood was shed at Calvary and is the purchase price accepted by God. And this Savior could be yours if you want him. You know, there's a scripture in Jeremiah that says, and he shall seek me and he shall find me when he shall search for me with all your heart. But the thing is this, you know who is the first one searching? It's God. Jesus said in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He is the seeking Savior. He is the one who can rescue you. And if you decide to, you want to come to him, he is already calling you. He's already seeking you. You are just responding because he is making the first move. He's always done that. Anyone who is a Christian today because God made the first move. You know, I never knew that I would ever become a preacher because I was resenting it. And even I was like 9 or 10, and my uncles were Christians, and I couldn't see myself doing that. But the Lord knows how he does his business. It's his secret, how he can call someone and let them see the urgency, the necessity, and the beauty of responding to Almighty God. Amen? And so, this is the God that we are talking about. And it says, precious faith by the righteousness of God, righteousness of God our Savior, Jesus Christ. Did you pick that up? God our Savior, Jesus Christ. That is very clear, a clear statement saying that Jesus is God. Jesus Christ, God our Savior. He was a man, as we all know. And many people thought that he was only a man. But he was more than that. He was also God who became man. He never left his deity behind. It was veiled, hidden, but was still there. And our Lord is the God-man. The God-man, the miracle person. He is God 100%, man 100%. Not 50-50, it's 100-100. This is the Lord Jesus. And he's the only one that can save you. I don't know what's in your life today that may cause you to be disappointed. Some things happen to people and they're disappointed. I don't know if you have fears. You know the Bible says, fear not. And someone says, you know how many promises there are in the Bible? I never checked it. 30,000. Well, obviously, I trust the person who said that. Come to them. Maybe it's like Brother Wilson. He has a calculator. But if you have 20 promises a day, you use up 20 a day, you got 23,000 left. You see how God has given us so many promises? And many people are fearful with this COVID thing going on. Are you afraid of COVID? Are you afraid of dying? You know something? I have been alone and my thoughts have been with me. And I have envisioned going into eternity. You know, I have a son up there now. We all know we're Roland Agard. And he is with the Lord now. And so when I think about it, I have his pictures, and I think about it. You know, he is with the Lord. He is with his Lord. What about you? Do you know you can know? You can have the guarantee that you will be in heaven. That is in the Word of God. And it's because Jesus, this God-man, has done so much, nobody could have done it. Nobody else could have done it. Only he, because he had to be God who understands God and man who understands man, and yet be in one person and do a job that satisfies God and meets the need of man, needy man. That's us. That's you and me. And so this could be satisfied. Something I want to notice here is this. Grace and peace be multiplied to the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know what he's talking about there? That knowledge is experimental knowledge. It is knowing the Lord more and more. And the closest as Christians now, because if you're not a Christian, your first step is receiving Christ as Savior. But it is not the end. There is a journey into growth, and you can grow more and more in the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is not automatic. And God will force no one to do anything. He would lay down his word and show you the benefits and the beauty of following him. But he will not force you. And so, every Christian is as close to God as he or she wants to be. Generally speaking. No matter what, for example, you know, when you're in love, you know how long you're on the phone? 2 o'clock in the morning? You know, and the person is saying, you know, I've got to go now. You're like, what happened? You don't like me anymore? It's 2 o'clock in the morning. You got to work. But somehow, love makes it easy. And how do we serve God? By love. How do we serve one another? By love, serve one another. Love is the great motivating factor. It was so with God our Father, because how did God give his Son? It was the movement of love in the heart of God. He so loved, immeasurably loved us, the world of humanity, that he gave his Son. And you know, true love always gives. You know the difference between love and lust? Lust takes. I want it. I want it now. I just want it for me and me alone. I just want my way. And that's how we all were, right? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way on the television. I hear people saying, I don't want to be a sheep. And I'm thinking, don't you know you are a sheep? God says, all, the whole human race, we are sheep, lost like sheep, wayward, and not so smart, intelligent like sheep as we think we are sometimes. And so this is experimental knowledge. You can know the Lord more. And I want to say this. It means you have to make a choice. For those of you who are younger, I'll tell you this. I was 22 in 1975. I was 22. And Myrtle, Miss Aberdeen, made an impression on me. And we started having Bible study in the home. And we started having family altar. And, you know, I remember that the difference was I started to have devotions. And I would get up in the morning early, about 4 o'clock. My brother was sleeping in the bedroom next door, but I thought he would have laughed at me because you know what I did? It's true. I put on a jacket and a tie. Not a jacket, no tie. And I knelt at my chair, and I had devotions here for an hour or so. And this became a habit of mine. And that is what drew me close and what kept me. Kept me under a lot of temptation. From age 22 to now, I'm 67. God can keep you, I'm telling you. And as I celebrate with Brother Macaulay, 59 years of marriage. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen? We can export that to Hollywood. He might have been married 10 times already, who knows? But it's all by the grace of God, you know? And I started having devotions. My brother, if he saw me in that jacket, I don't know why I do that, but I'm free from that now. He would have laughed at me. And so I finished my devotions by about 4:30. He was still sleeping. And, you know, one day when Lady D, you know, and Prince Charles got married, I was having devotions. And I didn't know how to tell the Lord, well, I can't see you now, you know, because I got to have devotions. I mean, I got to go upstairs to watch TV. And so I had my devotions. And I never saw that marriage until about 10 or 20 years after. You know, beautiful person that she was, we know, sad ending and all of that. But I never regretted it. I didn't see the wedding until about 10, 20 years afterwards. And I want to tell you something. This is what makes the difference. And if you are young, I want to tell you this. It's a tough guideline. I'll give it to you. When you're going to have devotions, turn off your phone. Now, it's tough, I know. Turn off your phone, hide it in your bag, put it under your bed, whatever. Don't answer your phone. You say, but what if my friend called? They can wait. They wouldn't die. And if they're dying and need to see a doctor, I am not the person. Are you the person? They can wait. They can wait an hour. Choose a time. Now, I am mainly a morning person. You might be a night person. I don't think the Lord is going to be against you. If you make that time, it could probably change according to days. Maybe 5 o'clock today, 6 o'clock tomorrow. But whatever time you're having it, morning, evening, or night, or whatever, make sure it's a place where you get alone with God. And you can pray to Him. And you have no disturbances. No radio. No TV. No cell phone. And when you are finished, then you can see who called you. They can call them. You can call them back. Amen? No, it's tough. It's a tough guideline. But if you are going to grow with God, you need to spend time alone with Him. Many of us here are married. And what would you think if your husband only gives you great compliments in front of a big company? And when you're alone, he doesn't talk to you. You're not going to be able to stand up or put up with that. But it's the same way. If we only have a time for the Lord publicly, but we don't get alone with Him, where He reveals many things I have learned from the Lord is when I was alone with Him and meditating on the Word of God. That is very key. Memorizing the Word of God. Meditating the Word of God. That's the link, because the Spirit of God can take the Word of God, which are the thoughts of God, and communicate them to you. And you can fellowship with God. Amen? So that is very important. And then I want us to look at something here. Escaping the corruption in the world. Isn't that something precious? We have economic, political, to name a few, of the corruptions in the world, in the office, wherever it is. The precious promises of God are there for us so that we can escape these things. And it's given to us in the Word of God. You don't have to be a victim. I don't have to be a victim. You know, when I came to this country, I was telling someone, I was in the music group. I played saxophone. And there was this Tiny, she's a white person. But we had fun together. And she told me something at one, and I had to be careful. I said, let me tell you something. I have never seen myself as a victim. I don't see myself as a victim at all. They were kind of surprised. We played together with 50 of us in the band. We went on tour and all of that. We had a lot of fun. But you don't have to be a victim, even of circumstances. Because what did the Bible say? In all these things, we are what? More than conquerors. And the word there really is super conquerors. Now, I know we have super seniors. Well, listen, if you are young, you could be a super young person. You could be super junior. You know? Because the Bible says that. We are more than conquerors. Why? Because of what Jesus did on the cross. It all goes back to him. He conquered the devil. He stripped the devil of his armor. He did it. And he did it in a way that really disgraced him. And the enemy doesn't want you to know it. As far as Jesus is concerned, he took away all the armor from the enemy and utterly defeated him by his death and resurrection. At the cross, he crushed the head of Satan. He did it. And, well, the enemy crushed his heel. That's in crucifixion. But he rose again from the dead and is alive forevermore. And he is that great shepherd of the sheep. Amen? Jesus is great. He is God, a very God. And he's the only one that can save me and save you. And as we continue here, we also see that Bible says there are some things that we've got to do. Diligence. We got to take the seriousness of the Christian life to our hearts. No one is ever forced by God. As I said before, I can be close, you can be close to God as much as you want to be. Isn't that wonderful? It's a privilege for all of us. At any time. Imagine, we live in a time, in the New Testament time, when we can come to God 10 times a day, 100 times a day, if necessary, through the blood of Jesus. In the Old Testament, how often could the high priest come? Once a year. We could come 50 times, and sometimes I've been there before the Lord many times. And when the Lord said, when you're in trouble, call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and wonderful things that you do not know about. So there's some things that are revealed to us in prayer. You know, C.H. Spurgeon has had an effect on me, and he said, you know how you break open a text? You break open a text in prayer. And I found this true. You study, you read the commentaries, you agree with some of them, I wonder what they're talking about. And so you have to make the decision, but you're there with the Holy Spirit, and he can break open that scripture and make it sweet and wonderful, or a warning to you, because the Lord doesn't always give a nice word in the sense that it's sweet and nice. It could be a warning. And a warning could be very helpful to prevent an accident or tragedy ahead. And that's what a wonderful God. He cares for us. He cares for us. And as I continue there, I want to talk a little bit about the brotherly kindness. You know, what did the Lord said? He said that if we love one another as we should, men are going to see it and glorify our Father in heaven. It's an observable love. So it is shown not in secret, it's observed in practice. That is what God wants us to have. And I want to say thank God for this church that has demonstrated this to me in different ways. And you know, those of you who are there, you know yourself, you have done this. And thank God, because you know what? The Bible says God is not going to withhold any blessing, any reward from anyone. He's a just God. Even for a cup of cold water, not piedrax, not anything, not wine, not no fancy drink, just plain cold water given in the name of Jesus has its reward. Is not God just? Is he wonderful? You see, whatever God says to do, listen, the Christian life, the simplicity of the Christian life can be summed up like this. Whatever Jesus says to you through his word, by the Holy Spirit, do it. That's it. But you have to have this relationship with the Lord so that you can hear his voice. And you know, if you are close to him, he doesn't have to shout. But he has to shout because he's at a distance. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned? The Lord asked for basically a confession. Where are you? And the Lord got the excuses. But the only reason why the Lord had to ask from a distance is because they had moved away from God. That's the reason why. But the closer we get to God, he doesn't have to talk that loud. He can get to us. He can hear his voice easier. And then I want to go down here about where the Lord is talking about, through Peter, entering into eternity, the everlasting kingdom. The time when we leave this earth and we get to heaven, we can do it in a most joyous way because of the way we please the Lord. So I want to say to us and to my own soul, be a God pleaser. All right? Be a God pleaser more than anything else, and you'll never go wrong. I'm going to please God. You may misunderstand me at times. I may misunderstand you. But if I am living to please God, that's my motive, that's my aim, I can never go wrong. I will be always satisfied the way I lived. You know, you've heard me say this before, and it's so true. The palm tree is the emblem of the Christian life. And they said that the older the palm tree, the sweeter the fruit. So you who are older Christians, you should be getting sweeter and sweeter. You know, when you see people who are bitter and they're old, oh, they are so bitter, they don't know Jesus. If they knew Jesus and walked with him, they could be the sweetest. You know, Fanny Cosby was looking at her the other day, her biography, and you know what happened to her? She could see until age 5 or 6. And then this quack doctor, he's not a real doctor, he was going to put something in her eye. And the mother said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Listen, who's the doctor here?" And he put something in her eye and it blinded her from age 5 or 6. But you know that woman? She published 8,000 hymns. 8,000. And she never gave up on the Lord. You know that song, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus Mine"? Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Fanny Cosby. Fanny Cosby. And so, no matter what your situation, you can always rise above and you can enter into heaven in a wonderful way. I have the opportunity. You have the opportunity. So let us just thank the Lord for his word, that we can be challenged and encouraged to love him and to love him more and more, because he's been so great in his mercy and his grace towards us. Shall we pray? Oh Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you loved us so much. You didn't hold back the treasure of heaven. You gave him up to the sacrifice of the cross. And we thank you for loving us with the cross, loving us eternally, and that you will never change. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the Old Testament, you said, I, the Lord, change not, with whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. And we thank you, Lord. Our faith is placed at the best place in you, O Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, enabled by the Holy Spirit. We bless you and we praise you. May these words that are profitable be used by your Spirit, and the others may they just fall by the wayside. We thank you, we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.